Good morning. I appreciate you having the opportunity to be here with us this morning. I'd like to echo what everybody has said. It's great to see all the visitors we have here today, and it's great to see the members who are here in attendance, and it's great to have the opportunity to worship our God, to set our minds on the things that our minds need to be set on, and going throughout our lives and doing the things we need to do. I like to consider myself a baker. I'm not that great at baking, but I love baking. I like making things. I like following the recipe, and I like baking more so than cooking, because cooking requires flair. It requires, knowledge. It requires the ability to put things together that, I just don't have the sense to put together. But baking is more of a science. Baking is exact. Baking has rules. Baking has recipes. If you stick to the recipe, if you follow what you're supposed to do, if you follow the ingredients, sometimes you have a pretty good result. So a lot of times you still mess it up and do something wrong and you have something inedible, but it's fun to do. It's something that I love to do. And I, as a person, am just like that. I like rules. I like recipes. I like things that dictate the way that I'm supposed to live my life each and every day. I appreciate Brother Hyde for reading from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 today, because I want to speak to you for just a few moments about the struggle of constantly and consistently working as Christians to get to heaven. We have to constantly work and constantly strive to do the things that we're supposed to do in order to get to heaven. And sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's a little bit more difficult. But it is something that we constantly do. It can be hard. And I believe I'm the third person to mention this morning. In the divisive times that we live in right now, it can be really hard when we're bogged down with all the political nonsense and all the noise coming from this direction and that direction. It can be really hard to just simply remember that I'm supposed to focus on the Bible. I'm supposed to do the things I'm supposed to do to be a Christian, and to be a Christian first and foremost. We have to put Christ first, because we are Christians before we are anything else. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek ye first," sorry, I always throw that ye in there. In the New King James Version just says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Matthew chapter 10, Jesus goes on to say, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." We as Christians have to make sure that we are putting Christ first. And like I said, it's hard. It's hard right now. It's hard to remember that we are Christians before we're Republicans or Democrats or Libertarians. We're Christians before we're Americans. We're Christians, yes, even before we're Texans. But also, we have to remember that we're Christians before we're fathers. We're Christians before we're mothers, before we're sons, before we're daughters. We are Christ's servants, and we must do the things that he has commanded us to do. I appreciate Brady reading from Psalm 27 this morning. I didn't ask him to. He didn't know what my sermon was about. But it echoed this thought pretty well there in verse 10 of Psalm 27. It says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. The Lord is our comfort, and the Lord is our strength." And we have to make sure that we remember that before anything else. And it's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy, especially in the world that we live in today. But I'll tell you, it's not easy for a 35-year-old first-time father of a seven-month-old baby going through all this stuff that's happening right now. It's hard to remember, this is my recipe book. This is what I'm here to follow. This is supposed to guide me through everything I do. Sometimes we find ourselves as Christians more willing to fight for our worldly beliefs, for our political beliefs, for over sports and just ridiculous stuff that does not matter. We're more willing to fight for that than we are to fight for Christ and what we believe in and the Word of God. We're more willing to go toe-to-toe with someone because, I don't know, they're a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Sorry, I know I say that in pretty much every sermon. I always compare the Cowboys to the Eagles. But we're more willing to go toe-to-toe with someone for that. But if someone has a conflicting spiritual belief, I'm just going to step back a little bit. No, it's not my place to step in and argue right now. I don't think I know enough to step in and argue with that. I don't think I have the ability to correct that person. Or maybe I just don't have the audacity. Maybe I feel like I don't want to get in that type of argument. But brethren, we should not be more willing to jump into these arguments over stuff of this world that does not matter than we are to step into conversations and corrections and things of spiritual nature. We have to remember that we are Christ's first, and we must remain to be Christ-like. We must make sure that our priorities are in the right spot. A lot of times, like I said, we have the ability to, or the tendency to place a lot of importance on things that are going on in the world, because it's here, it's relevant, it's right now. But there's nothing more relevant and nothing more right now and always than the Word of God. And we have to make sure that we understand and we remind ourselves daily that my soul is more important than any of this stuff. What I'm supposed to do according to God's Word is more important than all of this dross, all of this craziness that's going around in the world. The book of 2 Corinthians, verse 10. Paul tells the Corinthians here in this epistle, says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We have to remember, as we're told in Titus, to remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For living in malice and envy, For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. If we skip down to verse 9, it says, "But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless." Some of these things are pretty important to us. Some of our political beliefs are pretty important to us. Some of the opposing political beliefs that go against all morality in Scripture are very important to us. Now, if they go against morality in Scripture, yes, that is something that I'm going to argue. till I turn blue in the face. It's something that I'm going to talk about. It's something that I'm going to let people know this is not right. But if it's something that's as unimportant as being subject to rulers and authorities, doing what I'm supposed to do, I've already said I like rules. I like the law. I like hiding behind policies. That's what I tell my employees at work. I used to have a huge problem. I mean, I would be so anxious and just shaking if I had to get on to somebody, if I had to discipline somebody, if I had to fire somebody. It just did something to me. And then I realized, I'm not doing this to this person. It's not me who's putting this punishment upon this person. It's the fact that they knew the rules, they didn't obey the rules, and now they have to suffer the consequences. I'm just the person letting them know what's going on. I hide behind those policies. I'm like, hey, this policy is here. You knew it. You didn't follow it. There's nothing I can do about it. Sorry. You know? And I tell them that straight up. I say, hey, I like to hide behind policies. So if you don't follow the rules, you're going to hear from me. It's that simple. It is that simple. We're told in 2 Peter Chapter 3, verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. The word of God is the only thing, and I mean the only thing, that is worth fighting for. It's the only thing that's worth fighting for. And I say, well, Brother Evans, you said your family's not important. You mean you're not going to fight for your family? Absolutely, I am. Because the Bible tells me to. The Bible tells me how to behave as a father. The Bible tells me how to behave as a husband. The Bible tells me what to do to protect my family, both here on this earth, but also to help them to get to heaven. And what I need to do to be an example to them. I have to be an example to my wife and to my daughter. I have to be an example to those around me. I have to be an example to my employees at work. I have to let them know, this is how you're supposed to act. This is what you're supposed to do. And what I do for that is I reference the scripture. I do. And I try to do that in every aspect of my life because it makes life easier. It's like following a recipe. It makes life so easy if I can just say, oh, nope, scripture says I can't do that, so I won't do it. Or scripture says I need to do that, so I must do it. Or scripture doesn't say anything about that, so I don't care. You know, I do not care. If the government tells me to wear a mask whenever I'm in public, okay, fine. I'll wear a mask. That's stupid. If the government tells me to wear a polka dotted shirt on Thursday, cool. I'll wear a polka dotted shirt on Thursday. I don't care. But if the government, say, tells us that we need population control and we need to start sterilizing young women and young men for, you know, a couple of generations just to make sure that we don't overpopulate and ruin the earth, oh, it's just a crazy scenario I thought up of. That's something I'm going to have a problem with. Like, wait, well, Barrett, the Bible doesn't say you have to have children. No, it sure doesn't. But the Bible tells us that elders have to have children. They have to be fathers. They have to be examples. And if nobody has children, then in a couple of generations, nobody's going to have elders. No one's going to have qualified things. It's just the way we have to think about our lives and about our actions and the thing we're doing, it's just so simple to just follow the word of God. Now, it may not always be simple to draw the conclusions that we need to draw, but that's why we, as Christians, as examples to those around us, must abide in his word and do the things that we need to do. Like I said, this is our recipe book. It has everything you need for every situation. And yes, I will argue that. Every single situation. Because like I said, if it's a situation that is irrelevant, and people say, well, Barrett, the Bible doesn't say anything about whether or not I should wear tennis shoes versus dress shoes. And I say, well, absolutely it does. It says, this is of this world, and it doesn't matter. So do whatever you want. I don't care what shoes you wear. The Bible doesn't speak on that, so it does not matter. But the Bible does tell us and guide us in all matters that are important for our faith and our spirituality. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we all know this, we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, but do we always do this? Do we always put our faith in the Word of God and the Word of God alone and step back and say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to worry about all these things that I'm seeing around me. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to do the things I'm supposed to do. And if something happens to me in this world, then something happens to me in this world. But I know that if I'm following my Father in heaven, then I can possibly have a place by his side if I do the things that I am supposed to do. In 2 John 9, we're warned against not walking by faith. It says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. I don't know about you, but that's all the protection I need. The Father and the Son. If I walk according to his word and I do the things that I'm supposed to do, then I have the Father and the Son. Because if I don't, I don't have God. And nobody can get to heaven if they do not have God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we're told that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is what we need. The Word of God is what we can use, like I said, to make those arguments that are important, that are spiritual. I've been corrected. I've been corrected recently as to things that I'm doing that may not be in compliance with the Word of God. I don't get defensive. I pick it up. I make sure, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I living the way I'm supposed to be living? Am I making the right decisions that's going to get me to heaven, that's going to get my family to heaven, so I can be an example for those around me? It is profitable for every good work. And that includes reproof and correction so that we can be thoroughly complete. If we seek the truth and let the Word of God guide us in what we do, we will always, and if we always remember that we are His disciples before we are anything else, we are His disciples before anything else. If we decide to focus on furthering His kingdom instead of quarreling over anything that's not significant in this world, anything that is of this world, and if we allow His word to guide us in all that we do, if we abide in His word, then we can establish a foundation of faith and truth that can grow and give us comfort. It can give us strength. It can give us hope and bountiful blessings. It can give us all that we need if we trust in it. We just have to trust in it. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, why is it that I need to focus on things of the world or things of the Bible instead of the things of the world? Why would we focus more on the world than on Him, is what I would say. Why would we focus more on the world than on Him? That doesn't make any sense to me. It's very clear that the things of this world will vanish away. We all know these verses, but I'm going to read through them quickly. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 says, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19 says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. things of this world are going to vanish. I come from dust, and to dust I will return. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we all know 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. That's where we learn all about love, right? It is. But if we look at verse 8 and 10, it's not just love that it focuses on. It does say in verse 8 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. It will vanish. It will not matter if it is not of spiritual nature. God has promised us salvation through Christ. There's nothing that's more important than that. Nothing else matters over our salvation in the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. We are given a better covenant, a new covenant under Jesus that we should follow. And that covenant, that gospel, is our power unto salvation. In the book of Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. We're told this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we're told that we can overcome the world by following Jesus and doing the things that we're supposed to do. We can overcome the things of this world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God and that we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We can overcome the world and these worldly things and all these things that are driving everybody crazy in the world right now. We can overcome all of that through Jesus. And in John chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, it says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. We can be called friends of Jesus if we just simply remember to put the Bible first in all that we do, in every decision we make, in every action we take. Put the Bible first. It's a hard habit to get into, but and like I said, I strive to do that. I strive to do it. I obviously can't do it all the time, and I strive more and more to do it because I know that if I do that, it sure does make life a lot easier. It doesn't make life easy, but it makes life a lot easier. It makes decisions easier if I know I'm doing them for the right reason. I like to finish by looking at the 37th Psalm. Psalm 37, verse 25. It says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. We need to remain faithful to our Lord. Our Lord remains faithful to us. Our Lord is faithful to us when we are tempted. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The Lord is faithful when we are tempted. He gives us what we need to get away from it, and we are never tempted beyond our capabilities. The Lord is faithful when we are weak. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. When we are weak, when we are having struggles, when we just don't know what to do, and Satan is banging down our door and trying to get us to do the things we're not supposed to do, the Lord is faithful and will guard us when we are weak. If we have the foundation, if we have what we need to war against it. The Lord is faithful to us when we suffer. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. 1 Peter 4 and verse 19 says that therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. If we suffer on this earth, it doesn't matter. I've had my fair share of pain. I've had my fair share of weird medical mishaps. My wife has as well. That earthly pain doesn't matter. I can go through that. I can suffer that. That's fine. But when I suffer for the cause of Christ, I have a faithful Creator because I have committed my soul to God in doing good and being the person that I'm supposed to be. And finally, in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Lord is faithful to us when we sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord will forgive us if we ask for His forgiveness. If we do the things that we're supposed to do and we strive constantly, to follow this recipe and just simply be Christians. Like Brady said, like he says every time when the announcements are being made, we strive to just simply be Christians. If we are actually striving to simply be Christians and we falter, which we will all falter, the Lord is faithful to forgive us our sins as we repent and turn from them. We have a powerful Savior. We have a friend in Jesus. We have everything we need to make it through this crazy life in the Holy Bible, in the Gospel of Christ, in the Scripture. We have what we need to navigate this life. Everybody is cursing 2020. Everybody says, 2020, you know, it's the worst. I wish 2020 we could just start it all over, skip through it or anything like that. I don't. I love 2020. It's been great to me so far. I had a baby in January. I've had a lot of good things happen to me in my family, in my career, in 2020. Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff that's going on right now. There's a lot of weird stuff with this virus. There's a lot of weird stuff in politics. There's a lot of weird stuff. But, brethren, there's always going to be all that weird stuff. There's always going to be something coming at us from a different angle. There's always going to be someone trying to get us to fall away and to make something more important than we should be making it. And we just have to say no. You know what? I'm going to follow the Word of God. I'm going to stand on the Gospel of Christ and as my foundation, and I am going to make sure that I do what I need to do to get to heaven. That I do what I need to do for my family, for my friends, for my congregation, for my community, for my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. If there's anyone who has a need at all, whether it's you need to come to the Lord, confess your sins, and confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized into his name so that you can also have this hope of an eternal life. I invite you to come. If anyone has struggles right now, if anyone has a need, if needs prayers, if you need consultation, if you need anything at all that we can help you with, please come forward as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.